Welcome to Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. Left Out is a public affairs program dedicated to presenting news and views from a perspective left out of the mainstream news. I'm Robert Harper.
I'm Danny Slater.
And today's program is being produced by Alan Charnas. Our first topic today is following up on a discussion we had 2 weeks ago when we brought up the issue of verified electronic voting. We have today as a guest on the line, we have Professor David Dill from Stanford University, who is in fact a Carnegie Mellon graduate, did his PhD here, and is a distinguished researcher in the area of computer verification, software verification, which is to do with ensuring that programs behave properly according to some criterion. And David has been working tirelessly and very, very, very actively on the verified electronic voting, and we're happy to have him on the line today to talk with us about it. David?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
I wonder if maybe the first thing to do would be to maybe summarize for our listeners what you would say are the main issues in verified voting.
The topic is actually a lot bigger and a lot more complex than you might think, but I'll start with the basic problem, the way I see it.
Okay.
You know, elections exist for the purpose of really placating the losers, convincing them that, in fact, their holding office was not the will of the people, and they should go away and try harder next time instead of challenging the election. In order to do that, there's a burden of proof that really has to be met by the election, that it has to convince the populace that the results are fair and accurate. The problem I have with going to electronic voting is that you can't meet that burden of proof. The voters put their votes into these electronic boxes where they're recorded on some kind of disk or flash memory, and the voter has no ability to check that what got recorded is what they intended, or that, in fact, it will stay the same until the votes are counted at the end of the election. So there's a lack of accountability there, and that means that every election that is held on these machines is suspect. Because of that lack of accountability, it is necessary that the computer be fairly close to perfect. You know, of course, nothing is perfect, and perfection is too much to demand. But if you're, operating without a safety net, you really have to trust the first system very well. And when we think about questions like, can computer programs have bugs, or do they have bugs, or in particular, can computers be made perfectly secure, the answer is no. And in particular, if you ask, go back to this burden of proof question, and ask whether the manufacturers of the machines or the advocates of use of these machines have proven that they are reliable and secure, the answer is definitely no. That's our basic objection.
I see. So I'm wondering how much of a problem is this? I mean, how widespread is the use of electronic voting machines, and what do you see the trends?
The last number I saw was something like 20% of votes in the United States go through these machines. Now, that's a lot of votes that could easily affect a lot of elections. But what really worries me is that the number is increasing rapidly because in reaction to the Florida 2000 debacle, a lot of people think they need to upgrade their equipment, and they've been persuaded by voting machine vendors that the way to upgrade your equipment is to get the snazziest new touchscreen machines. So there are a lot of purchases planned for these machines, including most of the state of Ohio and most of the state of Maryland.
I see. So at one level, this makes some sense, I guess, right? Using computers to deal with we use computers every day to deal with these kinds of things. So what really is the objection? It's just that it is purely a software. You're concerned about software security and reliability, or what would you say is the main?
Well, it's a combination of software and hardware. But in fact, I think I'll go back and contest your premise. You know, we don't use computers for these things without a backup mechanism. So if you're dealing with financial transactions, people are very suspicious of electronic audit trails, and there's usually paper backup that they can go back to if they need to do an audit. So,
I see. So
voting is one of the few systems that's dealing with valuable transaction where there isn't actually a paper record. Yet voting is harder than a banking transaction because voting is anonymous. With banking transactions, you have the names of the participants on every single record. With voting, that's lost once the voter leaves the voting booth.
I see. So that's the issue, is that there's no receipt, as it were, for the vote.
Yeah. When I wrote the resolution on electronic voting in January of last year, I was writing it with the intention of having a bunch of computer scientists endorse it. And you know how computer scientists are. You know, they don't want to pin down particular technical implementations of things. So what we asked for was a voter verifiable audit trail. And so we talked in terms of permanent records and that sort of thing. But in practice, at this point in time, you really need paper. I've talked to a number of people about ideas for voter verifiable audit trails that don't involve paper. And, you know, with all of them, I'm left unsatisfied with the answers I get to some of the questions. And most importantly, it's not really for me to judge these things. I wouldn't want to take responsibility for saying that somebody's voting scheme is going to be secure. I would really like a consensus of my learned colleagues that that's true. And we don't have that for anything except paper.
So, one of the aspects of a paper, the system, the kind of systems you're proposing or that I've seen described, you vote on a touchscreen machine and then a receipt is printed out or some sort of, I don't know, you don't call it a receipt, but a record is printed of the vote. You can look at that record and then that record gets put into a ballot box. And so you as a person who's not savvy can still see that, yes, my vote has been recorded on a piece of paper. And I don't have to trust the electronic gizmos and so on to be working. I can see that, yes, my vote's being counted and being stored on a piece of paper, and I can understand that.
Yeah, the point you're making is one of election transparency. So I've tended to focus on the technological side of what can be achieved. There's also a question, if we get back to the burden of proof, of how do you persuade the public that the election was fair and honest? The most important thing there is to maintain the transparency of the election. And if ordinary citizens who don't know how computers work and don't necessarily care can see that there are paper ballots being produced and that those paper ballots are kept secure and recounted in a reasonable way, then they should be satisfied that the election is fair. If the records are, you know, if it's some cryptographic scheme that people have difficulty understanding why it's even secure, then maybe the election doesn't have that kind of transparency. Paper is underrated as a technology. If you think about it, you know, you get into this funny Alice in Wonderland world where people predict all sorts of dire consequences of using paper ballots. You know, not only have we used these things for over 100 years, over 200 years, we've used the Australian secret ballots for over 100 years, almost every transaction in the United States uses paper, like, say, cash. I mean, people talk about the difficulty of doing accurate manual counts of paper ballots. Well, you know, we rely on manual counting of money all the time, and that manages to be highly accurate. Mm-hmm.
So one thing we brought up last time when we discussed this was there are objections to your proposal, which on the face of it seems surprising, but we looked into it a little bit, and one is from the American Association of People with Disabilities, and I'm sure you're probably aware of their position on this, so maybe I don't need to repeat it, but I wondered if you might what you might think about it. They're mainly concerned that. I guess their main bullet points are that your proposal doesn't, as they say, substantially address the issue of election fraud. It violates the Help Americans to Vote Act. It'll raise the cost of elections, and the particular technology you're proposing doesn't actually exist.
So there were 5 points down there, and I didn't get them all written down.
But, okay. So first is it doesn't address the issue of fraud.
When we're talking about voter verifiable paper, with voter verifiable printers attached to touchscreen machines, that's not necessarily my favorite solution. Ah. You can have a voter verifiable paper trail of a variety of different kinds, including fully manual ballots or optical scan systems that are tried and true. Mm-hmm. The problem with a lot of those is providing access for people with disabilities who cannot use a paper ballot. Even with optical scans systems, there's a new device called the Vogue Automark, which is a touchscreen machine that's an optical scan ballot reader and writer. So you put the optical scan ballot in it, it reads it in audio or translates it into other languages on a touchscreen. You vote via raised buttons if you're blind or on the touchscreen if you want to, and then it just prints the votes on the ballot. So essentially this machine is a fancy felt-tip pen for people who can't use felt-tip pens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go through the points. So the first one was it doesn't deal substantively with vote fraud. Well, right. I've just explained why it does. Obviously, you do have to maintain the security of the ballots. My recollection from listening to Jim Dixon was that, of course, the machine could store a different electronic record from what's printed on the paper ballot. The key point that he seems to be missing there is that the voter gets to check what's printed on the paper ballot. We have to have lots of recounts, and in a recount, the paper ballot takes precedence over the electronic ballot. So if the electronic ballot is corrupted and there's any suspicion about the election, then we'll recount the paper ballots and the error will be corrected. Furthermore, we'll notice that there's a discrepancy between the paper votes and the electronic votes, and somebody will have to go tear that machine apart and find out what's going on. What was the second point?
The second was violates the accessibility requirements of the Help Americans Vote Act.
That's simply untrue, to the best of our knowledge. Of course, lawyers can say anything, but the Department of Justice has issued a decision about this, an opinion about this, in reaction to the AAPD's complaints. And the bottom line was basically the fact that you have a wheelchair ramp doesn't mean you have to jackhammer out the stairs to make a building accessible. You can have different ways of achieving the same function, some for people with disabilities and some for not. And I think that's both a legally defensible and a common sense view. Furthermore, it is quite possible to provide methods for blind people to verify the contents of the paper ballot. At some point, you know, they have to have some sort of electronic assistance to do that, but it can be done via, you know, off-the-shelf devices or third-party equipment, so you're not relying on the voting machine vendor to check the contents of the ballot.
I see. And the fourth point that they raise is that, well, these machines, the voter-verified paper ballots, do not exist, as they say, have not been tested in the real world, and are not certified.
There is a machine that is widely that is certified in, you know, we actually, Jim Dixon is the VP of Government Affairs of the AAPD.
Right, that's who.
He's to be establishing this position.
That's the contact person.
He staged a demonstration in the middle of a workshop we had organized in Denver, which had vendors, people on both sides of the paper trail issue, discussing all aspects of the issue. And so he broke into this thing and made this assertion. And the guys from Avanti, which is one of the smaller vendors that has a certified machine, said, look, our machine has a paper trail. It's accessible. It's been certified in the state of Colorado, where we were at the time. You know, people in Denver could buy this machine immediately.
I see.
And Dixon didn't have anything to say about that. And then, he was repeating this in December. So I don't know where that claim comes from.
I see.
So
yes.
I have a comment or question. I know that one of the ideas of using one way of using the paper is to, as a matter of course, every time you run an election, to randomly pick some number of precincts and then do a manual recount on those precincts. So don't do recounts only when there's some kind of disputed election or close election. You do it every single time in a random fashion. What do you think of that approach?
I think that's a great idea. California, so far as I know, is the only state that requires manual counts of randomly chosen set of the precincts. The number in California is 1%, which is probably too low. But in financial institutions, we do random audits, and I think we ought to do the same thing with voting.
No, that sounds like a great idea. One thing that came to mind is I'm not sure what it means for a voting machine to be certified. I wonder if you could comment on that.
Yeah, we've missed two of the AAPD points, but
We did. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
so. One of them was raising the cost of the machine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I did. I neglected that one. Is the cost of it raises the cost of local elections? I jumped ahead. Sorry about that.
This is an inconsistently applied criterion. We're talking about buying touchscreen machines unnecessarily for everybody in the United States here, or you know, taking whole counties and converting them wholesale to touchscreen machines, which cost 3 to 4 times as much to buy and operate as optical scan machines. So, you know, if we're that worried about cost, what I would favor is buying optical scan machines and then taking the money that we save and using that to provide accessible equipment. I think that the disabled voters would be better off that way because we'd get faster conversion to accessible voting than we would with the current scheme, where so much money is being wasted on touchscreen machines for fully able-bodied voters.
I see. Well, good. All right. So I wondered if you might go back to the point about certification and what that means.
There's a process that's evolving there. So there are federal regulations, FEC requirements. That's the Federal Elections Commission. Those are completely optional to the states. Nobody has to follow them unless the states require them to do so. There are independent testing laboratories that are approved by somebody or another that the voting machine vendors can submit their machine designs and machines to. Those laboratories review the designs, test the machines, and produce a report saying whether they've been whether they meet the specifications from the FEC. Then various states, such as California, can choose to require that process to have completed before they certify the machines for use in their state.
I see.
In California, it is required that all of that material be delivered to the state. The state does some more stuff. They hire a consultant to do it. And then after a while, make a judgment about whether the machine should be certified in California, at which point it can be purchased and used in elections.
I see. I think I heard recently of a case in Maryland. Does that sound familiar, where there was some kind of certification process went on, and I think it became something of a fiasco?
The case I know about was actually in California. The Secretary of State got wind that in one of the Diebold counties here, they had been running software that wasn't properly certified. He called for an audit, statewide audit, of all the counties using Diebold software. They hired somebody to do the audit. They went around and checked the versions running on the software. On the machines. So they asked the county election offices, what software are you running? They found out what the certified versions of the software were, and then they went and looked on the machines to see what was running on the machine. In many counties, they came up with three different answers to those questions. Furthermore, out of the 17 counties they audited, there were exactly 0% of the machines using certified software. So there are some serious problems of maintaining the certification status of software in use in California.
Yeah, so and also the software is all proprietary in all these machines. Is that correct?
That's right. Nobody can see them. There have actually been court cases where it was suspected that the machines were malfunctioning, and people were unable to get a chance to look at the software by court order.
Well, a lot of this is rather worrying, I have to say. I wonder if you could recommend what our listeners might do to help address the problem.
There are so many things that people can do. One of the things that we're trying to do through our website, verifiedvoting.org, is put action alerts there where people can help. They can also become members of verifiedvoting.org, and if they volunteer to help in the future, we'll send out requests. A lot of what we would like is for citizens to contact their representatives and senators and ask them to co-sponsor legislation. There's a bill pending in the House called H.R. 2239, the Voter Confidence and Increased Accessibility Act, and there's a companion bill in the Senate called S-1980 that was introduced by Senator Bob Graham. The bill in the House has a certain amount of momentum and now has over 100 co-sponsors, most of them Democrats, but at least five Republicans. The bill in the Senate was just introduced and doesn't have co-sponsors yet. So we'd love for people to ask their representatives and senators to support those bills. Often, I don't know what the issues are in Pennsylvania with voting machines. Often, the issue kind of comes up and there gets to be a state-level fight about, or county-level fight, about equipment purchases, what to certify, that sort of thing. So I don't know if there are any pending issues in Pennsylvania, but it would help if people would find out and actually let us know.
Good. Well, I notice on your website you have both the information about those two House and Senate bills and also the what's happening in your state. So I guess let me encourage our listeners to look at www.verifiedvoting.com, is it? Yes, .org.
Both .com and .org.
.com and .org, I see.
The domain we prefer.
Okay, good. So, thank you very much, David. We appreciate your taking the time to call us.
So let me just mention that what we're going to invite listeners to call us up and ask questions about this or other issues that we're going to talk about after the next break. Our number is 412-621-9728.
Thanks, David.
So am I supposed to stay on for the questions or not?
It's your choice.